This is the Food Fix, the podcast where you learn how innovators try to better feed the world. My name's Petrolano Ali, and I'm your host. Almost 760 million people go to bed on an empty stomach each day. So how do we feed them? It's a challenge that will take many innovators and many solutions. But in this Food Fix series, we're asking researchers, innovators, and policymakers to focus on just one. We've asked them to nominate a single idea. It could be an idea that may not solve world hunger on its own, but it should make the world a little less hungry. We've narrowed it to 10, and for 10 weeks, the Food Fix will bring you an installment of our new series, 10 Ideas to Make the World Less Hungry. Stay tuned for today's idea with our reporter, Ben Muir.
You are listening to The Food Fix. My name's Ben Muir. For today's idea on how to make the world less hungry, I talked to Ellie Hollander, the CEO of Meals on Wheels America, a nonprofit organization with more than 5,000 independent programs sprawled across nearly every community in the United States. Ellie told me the key to hampering hunger is acknowledging starvation as a pandemic behind closed doors. And the tool to fix it might not be new technology. Rather, the remedy might be committing to an idea that already exists, that already works. Let's take a listen. Thanks for coming on, Ellie.
My pleasure, Ben.
We are going to talk about hunger and one question. If you could think of one idea that you could implement tomorrow, and it is your best idea to make the world less hungry, what would that idea be?
Without question, I'd say to invest fully in Meals on Wheels so that we can reach the millions of seniors who face the threat of hunger.
I don't want it to sound like you're trying to plug, which I don't think you are. I don't want it to sound like you're trying to plug your own company. But if you honestly think that is the best way to make people less hungry, then let's roll with it.
Well, you know, we're not a company, but we do have a solution that works, and we just need to scale it, because if we're able to do that, we have people who are able to live, you know, in their own homes longer, live more safely, healthy, greater well-being, peace of mind, and out of much more expensive healthcare settings. So to me, it's a win-win-win. Meals on Wheels is largely focused on the older population, people who have multiple chronic conditions, have limitations of daily living, which means basic things that you and I take for granted, like getting dressed or bathing. So, you know, this is my life every day, is looking for solutions in this particular space.
Now, do the people you work with, do they have trouble finding food in general, or do they have trouble finding the right nutrition?
The folks that we're talking about can't prepare meals or go grocery shopping, so they need a prepared meal customized for them. One in six seniors today, or 10.2 million seniors, don't know where their next meal is coming from. Some are starving. Some, without that meal from Meals on Wheels or whoever's providing that meal, they won't have food, and they won't see another person in a given day. These are homebound people, Ben, that without whom could starve, and we're only feeding 2.4 million of them today. We can really impact lives of people that we don't even recognize struggle with hunger on a daily basis, or struggle with loneliness and isolation. And by advocating, by volunteering, by donating, we can make a huge difference, one person at a time.
So depression and loneliness plays a key role in today's starving community, or hungry people.
Absolutely, because most people who are hungry are behind closed doors.
That's something a lot of people probably don't consider.
I don't think we do, because we don't see it. You know, we talk about it as the hidden hungry, but it's folks who, either because they have functional impairments that limit their ability to get out of their home, they also may be proud and don't want to ask for assistance, or don't even know who to ask for help.
How do you get rid of that?
You have to raise awareness for people, looking out for people, and not creating shame or making people feel like, you know, it's something that they need to hide.
It's interesting, and I know this is a grim comment to make, but whenever I think of poor people or hungry people, I think of them on the streets begging for change. But when in reality, a large portion of them, millions of people, are actually indoors behind closed doors.
You nailed it. It's what you don't see. And it's an enormous, as you said, sort of daunting number when you think about 10.2 million seniors today. And by the way, even more seniors live alone in isolation. It's an epidemic. I mean, it's an epidemic of hidden hunger, and we have some homegrown solutions. I mean, you ask the question, like, what, automate this or this. You know, sometimes we forget about human connections person to person, and that when you have a solution or an intervention that actually works, we always are looking to reinvent the wheel instead of saying, well, sometimes we may actually have the wheel, we just need to invest in that wheel. And it doesn't have to be the next generation of technology or so forth. You can just get back to basics sometimes and not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We always tend to look for innovation as something new and different. Instead of saying, how do we innovate around models that already work and with a small investment have a huge impact?
What would you implement as far as using something that's more old school than opposed to new technology?
People stepping up and volunteering to donate a lunch. Let me donate my lunch hour to go deliver meals to somebody. Let me skip a lunch one day and see what it's like and instead invest that money in buying a meal for someone else, you know, paying it forward. We all have the ability to be advocates for the hidden hungry. We have the ability to step up and contact elected officials and say, look, this is a problem. We can solve this problem. We need to invest in this because there's a return on investment. So I think volunteering, donating, and advocating are getting back to the roots. These are basics. You don't need social media to do that, right? You can pick up the phone, you can email, you can get online and donate. I mean, so you can use all the technology we have, but it comes down to, at the end, is sometimes just Maslow's hierarchy of meeting the basic needs of people. Food is one of them. Believe me, it comes back to you in spades in terms of the personal gratification. When we talked about people who volunteer with Meals on Wheels and we said, why is it that after you did it the first time, you were hooked? And you know what they tell me? They say, volunteering with Meals on Wheels is like a drug. I get more personal satisfaction out of knowing the difference I've made in someone else's life. For me, it's addicting because I get a high knowing that I've made such a difference in the life of someone else. I was on a panel earlier this week at the National Food Policy Conference, and we had a number of leaders, worldwide leaders, in the issue of hunger. At the end of this particular conference, all the leaders were asked the question, if you could wave your magic wand and address hunger tomorrow, what would it be? And tongue-in-cheek, I started singing from, I don't know if you know the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men. I started singing, It's Raining Meals. Hallelujah, it's raining meals. You said I could sing. But seriously, it's like, if it were raining meals, that would be enormously beneficial. It's not realistic, but the food that I would rain for seniors and the needs, the nutritional needs of seniors is very different than the nutritional needs of a child. So that's why it's really hard to just come up with, you know, wave your wand and you have a solution.
All right, Ali, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Ben.
And I'm Ben Muir, and you just listened to The Food Fix.
Support for The Food Fix comes from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. It's produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University. Our theme music is a song, Watching My Garden Grow, by Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. I'm your host, Petrolano Ali. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.